KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vice President Kamala Harris ready to rally in D.C. She'll make her closing argument to voters on the Ellipse just south of the White House. Her running mate, Governor Tim Walz, spending the day campaigning across the battleground state of Georgia. And Savannah Walz telling voters,
keep in mind, 4 years ago, we had lost 2.7 million jobs. Unemployment had shot way up. Supply chains were devastated because Donald Trump botched the pandemic response.
Former President Trump meeting voters at a suburban Philadelphia town hall today. A source telling us Senate Republicans will hold leadership elections to select a new slate of Senate GOP leaders, including their new party leader on November 13th, Minority Leader McConnell. Mitch McConnell stepping down from his role as Republican leader after 17 years atop the conference. The United Nations World Food Program issuing a warning today that humanitarian crisis in Georgia that could become a famine unless action is taken. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources have announced nearly $8 million in grant funding for 12 projects across the state. The funding was provided through the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, with grants going to organizations like local governments, nonprofits, and county forests. Among the funded projects are things like an ADA-accessible boat launch facility in Ashland, the construction of new walking paths in Hillsboro, and the development of a riverfront trail and pavilion in Prescott. A group of truckers who participated in the 5th annual Barron County Truck Show in September have donated the proceeds of the event to a Rice Lake family in need. The group reportedly gave a $65,000 check to the Helstad family to help pay for the medical expenses of their 8-year-old daughter, Blair, who has been hospitalized in Madison for months. Blair was diagnosed with febrile infection-related epilepsy syndrome and has struggled with difficult symptoms. The family thanked the truckers for their overwhelming generosity. A pedestrian was hospitalized following a police-involved accident on Monday afternoon. According to the Minnesota State Patrol, the accident involved the Duluth police officer and the pedestrian. The officer was driving on 2nd Street and went to turn onto 6th Avenue East when she hit a 47-year-old woman who was walking at around 1:10 p.m. The woman was taken to the hospital for treatment with minor injuries. Due to the involvement of a Duluth police officer in the accident, the Minnesota State Patrol is conducting the investigation. The city of Duluth has officially reopened Brighton Beach after years of construction and renovations. On Monday, city officials unveiled new amenities like the extended lake walk, picnic tables, and new bathrooms. They say during the planning process, they reached out to community members to find out what they wanted added to or changed at the beach during the renovation project. A number of local organizations like Friends of the Lake Walk also contributed to the reconstruction. The project took a total of about 4 years to complete. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Celtics 119-108. Milwaukee now 0-2 on this road trip. They've lost three in a row. Damian Lillard.
It's definitely frustrating because when we do what we're supposed to do, you see what the first game looked like, and then in moments of the last two games, you see when we do what the game looks like. I just think it's one of those things right now where you just gotta stay in the fight.
The Bucks play in Memphis Thursday. College football, Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on reviewing the loss to Penn State over the weekend.
You know, it was tough, but as you look back at it, you know, the thing that it comes down to is execution, and execution in the fourth quarter, and then making plays.
The Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa Saturday night. The NFL Network reporting an MRI showed no serious damage for Jordan Love and that groin injury. Could he play Sunday against the Lions?
If he can go, he'll go. We'll see where he's at by the end of the week, but if we feel like he can't protect himself, then we certainly wouldn't put him in that position.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, couple of showers around, temps fall through the 60s, dropping into the 50s for your Wednesday afternoon, breezy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Much colder for Thursday, occasional showers, maybe even some snow mixed. It's 71 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday in our homeroom segment, a closing message to voters about the importance of saying yes to public schools and no to the politicians who threaten them.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH. Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, everybody. How are we doing, Wisconsin? It is a gorgeous night in our state that if this keeps up, this weather, yeah, we're all going to die. But short of that, this will become a very popular place to live. It was an absolutely beautiful day today in Wisconsin, and I got some serious TV watching done, despite the good weather. No, it was beautiful today. Wherever you're joining us from in our beautiful state, welcome to Nightlight. It is great to have you with me as we escape from the real world and talk about the things that make us happy, ladies and gentlemen. Movies and TV and music and comedy and fun things happening in our state. We have a really good show for you tonight. Not a great show. It almost was. I almost would have said it was great. It's just really good. But it should still be fun and a great way to end your Tuesday. So welcome to Nightlight. Conrad, how are you, my friend?
I am good because I went outside today and I was like, I don't need this sweatshirt.
Did you golf?
No.
Why didn't you golf? Don't you, like, you live to golf?
No, actually, what I did this morning is I had to go to the gas station real quick when I woke up. So it was really nice. So I opened up all my windows and did a little spring cleaning. Well, fall cleaning, I guess.
24-year-old single guy that spring cleans. You were born in the wrong era.
Well, I made a pizza last week, and I don't have a pizza tray, so the cheese dripped down.
So you did some oven cleaning.
I had to clean the oven. I was like, why not clean the whole kitchen then?
What kind of pizza is the important question?
Oh, my favorite pizza. Sausage, mushroom.
Sausage, mushroom,
and then the, like, you know, the big crust or whatever.
Thick crust, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what my issue with sausage and mushroom, and I'm not judging you. I'm sure you're as knowledgeable of pizza connoisseur as any. There's not enough contrast. Like sausage and banana peppers, two starkly different ingredients. Sausage and mushrooms, you might not even know if you're eating a sausage or a mushroom until after a couple seconds of chewing. They kind of are a little too complimentary.
You know,
don't get the taste explosion. Does that make sense? Think about it.
Depends if you have, like, really good sausage.
Okay, fair
that
enough.
That goes to show if you have good sausage.
Where was the pizza from?
Oh, it was just frozen.
You think you're getting the good sauce? Listen, that Totino's, they have a contract with a sausage company, and the meat is out of this world. Well, that's good. How often do you do frozen pizza?
Not that much.
Okay, that's good.
There's... It's like one slice is like 300 and some calories.
And about 4,000 milligrams of sodium,
exactly.
too. But they're hard to resist sometimes. You know,
yeah.
There's nothing like a frozen pizza under the right circumstances.
Especially when you go down that aisle and there's just like a big yellow sale sign on it.
I do find it funny, though, that you cleaned your oven on one of the warmest days we've had. You're like, I don't like it. I need hotter. Fire up the oven.
Well, I don't do the okay, like the actual click the clean button on it. I actually
you
go
actually
in there with
scrub.
the what are those called? The like silver.
Yeah, like a bristle.
Yes.
Well, I hear ya.
That I think cleans it better.
I'm more impressed that a young single guy like yourself is keeping his oven clean. That's impressive. So.
Well, I learned the hard way once. So.
Oh really?
It couldn't get the thing to shut up. The beeps of the
smoke alarm.
Smoke, yeah.
I'm not calling you a hero. I'm just saying I'm impressed.
Well, hey, you know, there's some volunteer firefighters that would really like us.
You know what? And we're going to talk about that because this folks, this show, this genre within a genre, the fire show has gotten out of hand. There are way too many shows about firefighters. God bless them. They do great work. Very brave. And there's a reason there's that many TV shows on. But it's getting a little out of control. There's Chicago Fire, Fire Country, the 911 Fire Show, Tacoma Fire. It's out of control. So we put together something we'll play in the next segment. You won't want to miss this. This is our little parody of that whole dealio. And we'll play that in just a few minutes. Fun show tonight. Tim McCormick is here. He is the PR guy for the only Harley-Davidson museum in the entire world. And it's in Milwaukee, as you know, or don't know, but now you do. And Tim does a great job. Like, Harley is everywhere, but he is the PR guy for this the one and only Harley Museum. He's great at what he does. I'm excited to talk to him. I'm not a motorcycle guy, but you have to respect the Harley-Davidson brand. They've been around forever. And, well, we'll get into it when Tim is here, but I'm looking forward to talking to him and meeting him because he truly is very good at what he does. And then at 7:05 tonight, my old friend and comedian Dobie Maxwell will be here. He is one of Wisconsin's own. He's done radio. He's put up shows. He's a comedian. He's taught comedy when he lived in Chicago, and I think he's based out of Milwaukee right now. He's born and raised in Milwaukee, so we'll talk to Dobie at 7:05. That'll be a fun talk. I've got a lot of stuff to throw at Dobie, so you won't want to miss that. Our question tonight, all right, we are 2 days away from the Halloween that we'll never get here because I'm ready to move on. I've had enough, folks. This has to stop. I think next year, 2 weeks buildup max. We don't need, you know, because all the candy was out in mid-September. I mean, it's just Halloween. Like, even Christmas, I could see people love the build-up to Christmas. That's the most fun part about the whole season. But Halloween, it's a good holiday. But do we need that much build-up? Anyway, Halloween will be here in a couple days. Conrad and I will be dressing up. That's on Thursday. I'm excited for you guys to see my costume if you're watching on the stream. It's a good one. I went all out. I spent a lot of money at the dollar store on this costume. And it fits me perfect. I look like a mountain of muscle in this thing. So I'll wear that on Thursday. Conrad is going to wear his. Would you call that a costume or just sort of a funny coat?
Well, so bad news. I can't find the hat. But I still have the vest.
Do you hear the silence? Do you hear the silence? You still have the what?
The vest.
Okay.
It was only a two-piece costume that I got at Spirit Halloween.
All right, that's fine. Do whatever you can. But if you want to find other headwear,
I don't.
There is a haberdasher right down the street here.
Yeah, there is a haberdasher.
You could pop in there and see what they have to offer.
See, I wouldn't be able to put my headphones on it with it anyways.
Oh, darn the luck.
It's a big fishing hat.
Total excuses. Do what you can. I'm excited to see the vest. I don't know many grown men that still wear vests, but this sounds like a doozy. And let's not tell people what's on it again, because you did a couple weeks ago, but let's keep people in suspense.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Thursday. But speaking of Halloween, we've done a lot of questions of the night involving Halloween. And tonight's is Halloween adjacent as well. And it's very simple. How old is too old to trick or treat? From Mind, what is it? MindQuest Media, that sheet that Todd Michaels sends out every day. It says, should there be an age limit for trick-or-treating? A lot of towns have had to instill age limits, and they're typically around 13 or 14. Upper Deerfield Township in New Jersey set their age limit at 12. That's not that old. Someone asked over 5,000 Americans, how old is too old to trick-or-treat? And most people said somewhere in your teenage years. Some of you were hearing 19. 43% said somewhere between 13 and 16. 16 or older was the most common answer with 15% of the vote. I think that's accurate. I think that's because if you're like 14 or 15 or even 16, you might be taking younger siblings trick-or-treating. You might be a babysitter. You should be allowed to trick-or-treat. But I do think 16 and older is too old. You remember those kids? I don't know if you guys had this in your neighborhood, but where I grew up, the first part of my childhood in Chicago or the second part in Marinette, Wisconsin, I remember kids in Marinette sprinting house to house with like garbage bags. They were on a quest to get as much candy as possible. And they would literally make it a workout. And they would sprint from house to house. And at that age, you can cover a lot of ground in a couple hours. But I think older than 16, I would agree with that. That would be my age. If you're older than 16, too old to trick-or-treat. Although if you put on a good costume, no one would really know. There are some 16-year-olds you'd never know just by their physical appearance or height or whatever. But a lot of people think the cutoff age should be even younger. 10% said 12 years old, which is weird because a lot of times you're not going to let a 12-year-old go out by themselves unless you live in like a really closely knit neighborhood. I don't know. What do you think, Conrad?
I actually don't remember what age I stopped, to be honest, but I think it was around like 13, 14.
Right. But what do you think is too old, though?
What if a 16-year-old dresses up as a younger kid?
And that's their costume? I give them an A for creativity, and I fill their bag with full-size Snicker bars.
I think that's a pretty good idea.
Let us know what you think. What is too old to trick-or-treat? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What age is too old to be trick-or-treating? That's our question for tonight. Tim McCormick from he's the PR guy of the world's only Harley Museum, which is in Milwaukee. He will be here at 6:35. In just a few minutes, we are going to launch our worldwide premiere of our new fire show. There's a lot of fire shows out there. People love their fire shows. We got one. We created one right here at Nightlight. We're going to play that next. Did you read that article I sent you?
Yeah.
How creepy was that?
I don't really believe it.
What's not to believe? It was an archaeological discovery. Okay, here's what we're talking about.
I don't
folks.
Believe. All right, yeah.
This is a real life vampire, considered so dangerous she was padlocked inside the grave with a sickle at her neck. An archaeologist found her. That's where we're going to pick up after this break because I find it. You unearth a skeleton of a woman with a sickle 3 inches above her neck. So if she tried to get up out of the grave and come back to life, it would cut her head off. This is one of the creepiest things I've ever seen. So we'll discuss that. We'll read your texts. And I've got a funny onion headline. And we're going to unleash our new trailer for Wabino Volunteer Fire. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the Farm Bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Robinhood is introducing forecast contracts so you can trade the presidential election. Through Robinhood, you can now trade financial derivatives contracts on who will win the U.S. presidential election, Harris or Trump, and watch as contract prices react to real-time market sentiment. Each contract you own will pay $1 on January 8th, 2025, if that candidate is confirmed as the next U.S. president by Congress. Learn more about the presidential election contracts on Robinhood at www.robinhood.com/election. The risk of loss in trading commodity interests can be substantial. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Commodity interest trading is not appropriate for everyone. Displayed prices are based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. Learn more at www.robinhood.com/election.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba. That would be fun. And the whole night we could just do this and then have to go see a chiropractor. Tom from New Berlin from the 414 says, half off on merchandise all over. Yeah, this is a great time to buy Halloween candy.
Well, I don't know. There was one time where my roommate and I, when I was in college, went last minute to try to get some Halloween costumes. Like, couldn't find anything.
Well, costumes, yeah. And candy?
I mean, yeah, Target was still.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably the day after is when it
the
gets
day
crazy.
After, yeah.
Yeah. We got to move these baby Ruths.
Did you hear that some of the Spirit Halloweens transition now into Spirit Christmas?
What does that mean, the Spirit Halloween?
So the store where they sell all the costumes, you know?
Oh, okay.
There's some locations in the U.S. now that are just transitioning into Spirit Christmas.
Really? Well, and again, I don't know. I guess I don't have as much of an issue with Christmas, I guess, because it is the biggest holiday. I don't know. This vampire thing was so creepy. They unearthed 100 graves in Poland, but only one of them, they thought this woman was a real life vampire. And they had this sickle over her neck because they thought she tried to escape, and a lock on her toe. I don't know what that would do. I don't know. Vampires can't pick locks? I don't get it. However, she is, they're calling her an elite female vampire who died some 350 years ago. She was first unearthed 2 years ago at a medieval graveyard in Poland. She was 18, and they released these illustrations of what the 18-year-old vampirist might have looked like, and they have her skull. It's really creepy. Like, what did she do to make them bury her like that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, she looks like a nice girl in the recreation.
Yeah, I'm sure she was a nice girl to.
I don't know. Who knows? It's very, very creepy stuff. Okay. So, we have, this is kind of a thing we're going to do here. This is our answer to the amount of fire shows on TV right now. It is ridiculous. As I mentioned, there's Chicago Fire, Fire Country. I think there's a 911 fire or something or other, Tacoma Fire. It's all about fire stage. And, you know, they're great characters. Firefighters are interesting. They're brave. And I get it, but I just think we're an overload. So we, but having said that, we thought, well, why not come up with a show that, you know, we could kind of piggyback on the rest of these popular fire shows. So here's what we came up with. This is our answer to all the fire shows, Wabino Volunteer Fire.
Looking for a show that'll keep you on the edge of your seat this fall? Check out Wabino Volunteer Fire.
Red, there's another huge spider in the crapper. When's that bug guy coming?
He's not. The mayor's cutting the department budget. You believe that?
These guys are the ones running toward a cat stuck in a tree when others run away. Two first responders who would give anything to have to respond.
I'll tell you what, it's a good thing those 9/11 terrorists targeted New York and not Wabino. I would have opened up a can of whoop-ass.
9/11? What happened?
Wabino Times film critic and bait shop owner Bud T-Bone McCracken calls it a gripping and poignant look at the lives of volunteer firefighters and says this weekend, Boneyard Bait Jigger Bone Grubs are half price.
What do you want to do for lunch today, man?
I don't know. We're out of cold cuts.
Be great if we had a Jimmy John's or a Subway.
Sure, they have a lot of downtime. That just makes them train harder to stay ready.
What are you doing?
Shuffle dancing. I'm taking a class at the Y.
What the hell's shuffle dancing?
For your information, it's a very popular dance form. You need to be really coordinated to do it. It helped me be a better firefighter. Check this out.
They'll do whatever it takes to stay focused in case they ever get a call.
Ha, Yahtzee. Suck it, Smokey.
Damn! What are you guys doing this weekend?
Packers have a bye. So the wife wants me to go stupid antiquing.
They want local arsonists to know one thing. Don't bother, because these guys are experts at handling the hose. This show is literally on fire. Well, not literally. Wabino Volunteer Fire. No cats were harmed in the filming of this sketch.
That was a sketch? I'm serious about this. Todd Michaels has the best voice. He should be doing all of those ads, like those promos.
I could see him doing something for like Love Island or...
Do we have the clip? Let's find the clip of him. I sent him the script and he put down his parts. And when he was saying the name of the bait store, he couldn't get through it. And his laugh is so genuine and funny. Let's see if we can find that. That's a good one. All right. So we're getting some of your texts. Our question tonight is, how old is too old to trick or treat? Some towns think 12 and they've made laws. Some towns say 12, some say 16. I'm okay with 16. Jim from Appleton says, at my house, there is no age limit. If someone is going to put in the time to craft a costume to collect treats, they deserve some. That's a great attitude. I love this from Jim. P.S. Adults get a beer or shot of whiskey. Their choice. Jim, it's a good thing you didn't leave your address here. Jim is probably one of the most generous trick-or-treat giver-outers there is. That's a great text. Jim is in Appleton, so you could take your chances and hope you find Jim's house. Daniel from Menasha says, Daniel Wheeler in Menasha, if you can drive house to house to do your trick-or-treating, probably too old. That's a great point. Hannah from Milwaukee says, age shouldn't be the barrier to entry for trick-or-treating. It should be effort. I say if anyone of any age wants to put the effort in to get dressed up in a costume, go door-to-door for candy, they should be able to. Why put limitations on the joy of Halloween? We have a bunch of positive texters. That's really impressive. Thank you, Hannah. That's a great text. And I will keep that in mind if I ever trick-or-treat at your house. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight. Tim McCormick, the PR guy for the only Harley Museum in the world, is coming up after Civic Media's award-winning news on Nightlight. We'll be right back.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. With the election just days away, this year's race for the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin has become the most expensive in district history. According to campaign finance documents, Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden and Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook have raised nearly $12 million in total. Congressman Van Orden raised more with $6.6 million through mid-October. Cook raised about $5.3 million through the same point. Polling shows the district is one of the most competitive in the country. A new federal rule that went into effect on Monday will protect passengers if their flights are canceled or significantly delayed. Previously, some airlines would give vouchers out to their passengers in the event of a canceled or heavily delayed flight, providing some manner of relief for the passengers but limiting their options for booking new travel. Now, airlines will be required to provide a cash refund for passengers whose travel plans are heavily affected. The rule change comes just in time for the holiday season, the busiest travel time of the year. The Duluth City Council has unanimously approved two resolutions to fund the Spirit Mountain Restoration Project. At Monday's meeting, the City Council agreed to match $13 million of state funding for the project. The city is expected to cover about half of that $13 million, and Spirit Mountain will contribute the other half. City officials say the project is still in the design phase, so there's no timeline on when the project could be completed. Much of the infrastructure at Spirit Mountain is 50 years old and in desperate need of renovation. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany has significantly outraised his Democratic challenger Kyle Kilborn with just a few days left before the election. According to campaign finance reports, Tiffany has raised nearly $1.2 million through mid-October, compared to just $215,000 from Kilborn. Tiffany also reported having about $210,000 left over for the last 3 weeks of the campaign, while Kilborn reported having about $35,000 left over. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Oliver's comedic takes on current events are top-notch. If you want a sample size and a good laugh, check out his and Will Ferrell's funny parody of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Oliver, an immigrant himself, had to take a test to become a citizen and then listen to Greenwood's song during his citizenship ceremony and thought new U.S. citizens deserved better. When he found out Greenwood charges the U.S. government $700 a year to use the song, it rubbed him the wrong way. So he is offering the new Will Ferrell version to the government for $701. Seems like a sensible price. Uma Thurman and Anthony Hopkins are teaming up with another up-and-coming actress, Phoebe Denever, for a forbidden love story called The Housekeeper. The film will be set in England at Hopkins' character's vast estate, with Thurman playing a housekeeper falling for a young woman and author who is visiting. It sounds quite steamy because Thurman and Denever are both very attractive, and even more so because there is no mention of Anthony Hopkins doing a love scene. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, couple of showers around. Temps fall through the 60s, dropping into the 50s for your Wednesday afternoon. Breezy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Much colder for Thursday, occasional showers, maybe even some snow mixed. It's 69 degrees right now.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Marquette University Law School's newest poll drops, and I'll have Charles Franklin to tell you all about it. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
drop off. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue,
just let that song play. Is that the one we were talking about last night? One of the guests said, oh, I love that song.
What do you mean? Oh, no, that was Fall on Me.
Oh, okay. I got my 90s.
But that song's still great.
That's awesome. All right. Dobie Maxwell, one of Wisconsin's own, a lifelong comedian. Lifelong, not just for the span of his career. He's a lifelong comedian. He'll be here at 7:05 right now. We turn our attention to a Wisconsin staple, the Harley Davidson brand, and we welcome to the show Tim McCormick, who is the PR guy for the only Harley Davidson museum in the world. Tim joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Tim.
Ahoy! Thanks so much for having me on, Pete.
I love that we're talking motorcycles, and you went boat, and you said ahoy. That's fantastic.
I didn't have time. I was chauffeuring some kids around, so I'm dialing in from the home office in Bayview.
Oh, nice.
On the south side of Milwaukee. I was hoping to make it down to the museum, but didn't want to be late here.
Well, that's okay. We appreciate you taking the time. I know you've got a lot going on these days. You got the Harley Davidson swag. That's fantastic. All right. So do you have this gig because you are a huge Harley Davidson fan, or did they just have to have you because you're great at what you do, or both?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I'm hoping that's the case. But I did grow up in Milwaukee, lived here for most of my life, went away for a few years for school and a couple of the first jobs in the career here. But growing up and even after that, like, absolutely number one on the list of places to work to make a career in Milwaukee is Harley Davidson. So I consider myself very fortunate and very blessed to be in this position, and do work my keister off to make sure I get to stay in this position.
Yeah, you got a good gig. You don't want to throw it away for any reason. All right. So I was watching tons of film preparing for this interview, because I'll admit I'm not a motorcycle rider. I don't know a ton about Harley other than what I read, that they're just this great brand and you guys have been around forever and they make really, really good motorcycles. So tell people like me what they would see if they make a trip to Milwaukee to check out the museum, the world's only museum.
The world's only Harley Davidson museum, found at the crossroads of 6th and Canal. We've been open since 2008. But I think many of us on the museum staff would argue that it was the forethought of our four founders that really led to the massive collection that we have on display at the museum. Beginning in about the 19-teens, they would start pulling one motorcycle off of the factory line. So you think about, we started our company in 1903, not too long thereafter, they had the forethought to pull one of those motorcycles off the line just for the collection. And for a long time, it was kind of just stored in the basement at our factory in Juneau Avenue. I believe some of the collection moved to York, Pennsylvania, when we started doing assembly there in the late 60s, early 70s. So really, to have that treasure trove of collection of pristine motorcycles. In fact, you can see we've got some motorcycles so old that they didn't have an odometer on the display. You do start getting that introduced into factory motorcycles, there's maybe 4 miles on the bike, and that's just them being rolled from one place to the next. And hopefully now we found their forever homes within the halls of the Harley Davidson Museum.
All right. So if you'll forgive me for putting this into the conversation, but on this show, we talk about movies and TV a lot. The first time I ever heard the phrase Harley Davidson was in the movie The Bad News Bears in 1976. The character Kelly Leak is hitting on an older woman, and he says, I have a Harley Davidson. And I was like, what the heck is that? And then he starts revving this motorcycle. And that's like stuck with me ever since in this classic movie. So, and since then, you guys have been in a lot of movies. I mean, yes. The branded content in movies has taken off. You also have, Tim, I saw at your museum, a ton of film and old footage of people with Harleys. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that was like? That was probably before your time when they got a lot of that stuff, but was it hard to acquire?
Since I've come on board, it's been fantastic. We have such a community of riders, but also a great community of dealers throughout the country and throughout the world. And I know most recently, some of those dealers, maybe some of their sons, maybe some of their daughters, just found themselves with this treasure trove of footage. And again, once you decide, I don't know what I'm going to do this with this. I don't know that I really have a use for this. Maybe I'll give the Harley-Davidson Museum a call and they could find a good use for it. So there's been a lot of examples like that. The founders, like I said, were just tremendous collectors. And I think that really continued on, especially as we still have family members working for the motor company to this day. They would shudder at the thought of being called hoarders, but they are definitely collectors. And it really ranges from advertising material, pamphlets. Once video starts coming along, there's some of that material as well. It's amazing to talk to our archivists, especially because a lot of companies will have to go out onto the secondary market, maybe to an eBay or something similar like that, and really pay a premium price to try to get those back into their collection. But for whatever reason, we've been collectors ever since the very beginning. So we've had that material that we can draw on. And still to this day, we can't put it all on display. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes in the archives, in the collection, that like literally millions of photographs that we have now amassed throughout the years here. And just trying to find an opportunity to tell those stories and put them out on display.
What do you do with them? I mean, you're right. You can't, honestly, is there a documentary there, some footage for commercials or just playing at the museum? I mean, there's you as a PR guy, I bet you're chomping at the bit thinking, yeah, what do we do with this stuff?
Exactly. Yeah. There's just so much of it. Every time they take me into the archives, there's new VHS tapes that I get to see. And we still have a VHS player one of our libraries here. We just try to find different materials that might help us tell the current day story. And again, we've got a very talented staff of curators, of archivists that are putting together new exhibits. And knowing that they have a lot of this information cataloged, it really makes it easier for them to bring that stuff out and help tell the story.
I can't imagine. Some of these films must be on 8mm because I saw that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was fun. We had an exhibit not too long. These are still pictures, but they were on plate glass photos. And the level of detail that you could zoom into and see reflections and that sort of thing, it really told almost a 360-degree story without having that, you know, actual technology available at the time.
Wow. Yeah, it said you guys bought a film in 1916, which is the evidence of the first Harley that you're... Is that the first Harley on film? It sounded like it.
I think that's correct. I think there's also... I know one of the examples that we like to cite often, there was a Buster Keaton movie. He was doing his own stunts, and he was riding, again, 19 teens. Forgive me, I don't know the exact year. But he was riding a Harley Davidson in a Hollywood production.
That is really, that's like one of those Apple commercials from 30 years ago, you know, like the great minds and that's really cool. I also know, I saw the thing about the Berkeley Tigers, the Black Harley Club in Oakland in the 60s. And man, did they look like they were having fun. I don't have a motorcycle. I'm not in a motorcycle club.
Yes.
Motorcycle clubs used to kind of, I think there could be negative connotations with them back years ago, but now you see some of them are just like stockbrokers that like to ride Harleys. And like, is that what it is? Is it a social thing like fishing, or are these guys really into the actual bikes, or is it a combination of both?
It's funny that you mentioned fishing. I'm going to divert real quick here,
please,
because there is a story that William Harley and his buddy, William Davidson, got together to try to find a faster way to the fishing hole. And that's how they first decided that they were going to attach a motor to a bicycle. We don't know about if that's 100% true or anything like that, but it's a nice tale to tell.
Go with it, yeah.
As most fishing stories go, right?
Yeah, right.
But it's so true. It can be my former boss, Bill Davidson. He is great grandson of one of the original four founders.
No kidding.
He likes to say that it's, you know, Harley Davidson draws people from all walks of life. It right. really doesn't matter. And we see that every day on those folks that are rolling up to the museum, rider or not, they're attracted to the story. Truly a great American success story. You mentioned Apple before, which was started in either a basement or garage.
Yeah.
Our story dates back to a 10 by 15 foot wooden shed in the back of the Davidson home on the near west side of Milwaukee here. So the design, the history, there's so many different ways to look at Harley Davidson. And like I said, it just draws people from all walks of life, from all corners of the globe.
So, all right. So you've got some big events coming up. You have Skulloween. Tell us about Skulloween. I love the title.
Yeah. So where else would you want to celebrate all things black and orange but the Harley Davidson Museum? My good friend and colleague, Erica Campogna, puts this together. Really just a way, and it's going to be amazing because I think we still might have some decent weather, which might mean some decent numbers of bikes showing up to the museum on Thursday. That'll be taking place on Halloween night. We've got Big Swig, a local band here that is very excited to play Halloween. I'm told they will be dressing in a to-be-announced themed costume, playing some of your favorite covers and that sort of thing. There is also a $250 campus-wide gift card at stake for anybody who's dressing up our costume contest. The winner of that will be taking home that $250 gift card. Motor yes. really leaned into Halloween. That's our bar and restaurant right on site here, just across the street from the museum. They've got some great Halloween specials, some sticky bat wings, Don't Fear the Reaper chicken sandwich, among others. So we're expecting a really great turnout and a really great time. We have bike nights every Thursday throughout the summer. It's been typically May through September. Free live music, and this is a way to just kind of extend that season just a little bit more, even though we do take a break in between. But a lot of our regulars love to come down, check out the bikes, and maybe check out the costumes that they've dreamed up this year.
That's so much fun. And then you've got a big Veterans Day celebration coming up, I know, November 9th through the 11th at the Motor. Sounds like a really fun event. Tell us about that a little bit and what you guys are offering.
So I'm not sure if you've had a chance to come through the museum, but if you have, if anybody listening out there has, you obviously know that our history with the U.S. military dates back more than a century. A lot of people like to refer to the WLA motorcycle that we produced for Uncle Sam and our allies for World War II, is often referred to as the bike that won the war. So really strong, really proud, really intertwined history with those that serve on the front line of freedom. So we have free admission for active duty and veterans and their families, most importantly, on that Saturday, the 9th, on that Sunday, the 10th, and then again on Veterans Day, which obviously lands on November 11th, 11/11. And then also specifically on Veterans Day, Motor Bar and Restaurant, if you buy a beverage and you are active duty or veteran, you'll get your meal on us. And then at the shop, if you want to take home any new gear, we've got a lot of military-inspired garb and that sort of thing, you get 10% off your purchases that day as well.
Tim, you are so good at what you do. I'm just about to enlist in the military so I can get these discounts. I'm a little old. I might struggle through basic, but I think we can do it.
It's the push-up test that's going to get me. I'll tell you the same.
That's a great answer. All right. So my guest is Tim McCormick. He is here. He is the PR guy for the world's only Harley Davidson Museum right here in Wisconsin in the fine city of Milwaukee. We'll have a couple more minutes with Tim when we come back after this quick break. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwava on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sky and tell the sky. Tower, foresight, isn't anything.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Our question of the night is, how old is too old to trick-or-treat? We've got some great text so far. The consensus seems to be between 12 and 16, but Mike, listening on the stream, says, as long as I can climb the stairs, I'll keep trick-or-treating. Age 65. I'm not giving that guy candy. I'm sorry. It's just, you got to draw the line somewhere. My guest is Tim McCormick. He is the PR guy for the world's only Harley-Davidson museum, which TripAdvisor makes a traveler's choice. It's a very well done, well thought out, and well visited museum. Tim, what has your museum done for Milwaukee tourism? I would imagine you got a big chunk of that, right?
Right. That award really means a lot to us because it is based on the reviews of the guests that come through. So this isn't us, you know, kind of monkeying with the numbers there or anything like that. Based on public feedback and those reviews. So we're very proud of that distinction. And you know, obviously I'm a bit biased, but it's amazing to walk through our halls in the middle of winter, you know, come February or something like that, and to hear those international languages being spoken throughout our hallways. I don't know of another attraction that would bring those people to Milwaukee or to Wisconsin. And our friends at Visit Milwaukee and our friends at Travel Wisconsin have said the same. So hopefully I'm not tooting my own horn here, but obviously I kind of am.
That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. That's the nature of the game.
Own it, man. Crush it. Let's go.
But it's amazing, again, like events like Mama Tried, a huge motorcycle show that takes over the rave and the Eagles Ballroom. We're lucky enough to throw the pre-party that kicks off that weekend. We get people from Brazil. I've made good friends with a photographer in Japan who makes the trek every year. And then you talk about in the summertime with the now annual Harley-Davidson Homecoming Festival and all the tens of thousands of people that are coming into town to see Jelly Roll this year. Red Hot Chili Peppers played this year.
Wow.
We had the Foo Fighters last year. And of course, all those people want to make a stop, want to make a pilgrimage to the Harley-Davidson Museum while they're here in Milwaukee.
I think right after I moved back to Wisconsin, Springsteen played there, and I was so bummed I didn't get down there. Like, that's the closest. I have to go to Chicago to see him. I've gone to other cities, but it would have been 2 hours from where I live, and I couldn't make it down there. That must have been a fun show.
Keep tuned. Let's see who's going to be playing for this year's Homecoming Festival. You will be my special and honored guest. We'll make sure to roll out the orange carpet for you and make sure you get down to Veterans Park to check out whoever we have rocking the house.
Listen, with my luck, Debbie Boone will be playing this year. And you know what? God bless her. I'm just saying. I appreciate that. Conrad, you have that, right? We recorded that, what Tim just said?
Yes. Okay.
Scout's honor.
All right.
And I haven't seen any bookies lines, but I think that Debbie Boone's going to be pretty low on the odds that's happening this summer.
Well, good. I'll get a nice seat right up front if that is. I'll be there with a smile, Tim, just to hang out with you. It'll be fun. Hey, do you have a favorite biker movie?
I was anticipating this question. And it might seem kind of cliche, but we have a replica of the Captain America bike that appeared in Easy Rider, which really, you know, I think was a watershed moment in cinema for sure.
Yeah.
But also in our own motorcycling sport and culture. Kind of a bummer of an ending, right? But I think for the soundtrack alone, which you might have a little more history on this, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like one of the first times that they were just pulling songs from pop culture. They weren't necessarily produced for the movie.
Right.
And they had such an amazing array of talent up and down throughout that movie. Yeah.
That's a great answer. Did you see...
Do you have one?
Well, I would probably say Easy Rider just because I don't know a ton of them. You know, but I know that I did see the Bike Riders this summer. I thought it was a good movie. The Motorcycle Diaries I saw years ago. That's pretty depressing.
Right. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
And I'm just scrolling through a list here. Cause I don't,
I'm, a lot I'm going to say my sons like to say, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain America, they might consider that a motorcycle movie because there's that old WLA that appears in there.
No, I think that's a great one. You know, the movie with, Marlon Brando too on the water? Wasn't
the Wild Ones.
The Wild Ones. Yes. Yeah, but it's been ages since I've seen that. Are you, Tim, when you're done doing your job, which I can tell you're phenomenal at, what do you do when you go home? What do you watch? Can you recommend something that's binge worthy?
Oh my goodness. This is completely off of anything that might come up during my day job.
I love it.
My wife and I have kind of been getting into some Irish and British comma dramedies, if you will.
Oh yeah, right.
Bad Sisters on Apple TV was really, really good.
Huh.
It's a funny premise. Check it out.
Okay.
And then that led us to Trying, which again was a Apple production. We recently had the opportunity after the pandemic. We traveled to Ireland. My son is named Burren after an area on the west coast of Ireland. Okay. Obviously, my people being a McCormick, I hail from there.
Yeah.
So we've really fallen in love with the land and the people and their culture, especially.
That is great. Those are great recommendations.
I don't know about that.
I'm sure you can find plenty of Irish people to connect with right there in Milwaukee. You don't have to travel so far. Tim McCormick, this was fun. Thank you so much, buddy. Good luck with Skulloween and the Veterans Day Festival, and we'll take you up on that. I'll see you down at that museum one of these days, but don't be a stranger. Let's do this again.
Absolutely. If not sooner, let's see each other.
You got it. Okay, Tim, that's Tim McCormick. Check out the Harley-Davidson, the only Harley-Davidson museum in the world, and tell Tim Nightlight sent you. Do it a bunch of times. Make his day long. Okay, coming up next, after Civic Media's award-winning news, an old friend of mine, one of Wisconsin's own, the very funny Dobie Maxwell will be here. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she's a candidate for the 8th Congressional District. We'll find out how she is feeling heading into the election. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here. And we'll end with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings at 10. Matinere on Air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matinere on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.